This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Welcome, everybody. I'm thrilled to be here with my dear friends Shelley and Gary. And so I bet everybody's asking about why are we here? Why is Capitalize on You so important? I believe money is power. And I've always said that. I've said that to both of you. But unfortunately, women abdicate control of the pocketbook. And that's time to change. My personal mission is on equality and equality across race, gender, age, ability, and capital is a factor. And so if we're going to change it and we're going to reach equality, we've got to reach it by educating on how you can capitalize on you.
Hold on, Hope. I thought we were here to create one of the most successful podcasts in the history of podcasts. I might have gotten the wrong invite. I mean, all those things are marvelous and true. I just wanted to make sure I was in the right live stream and the right podcast. Can I still stay here? Because that is a huge agenda of mine. The single most impactful podcast in the history of podcasts.
Well, Gary, and I was going to jump in and say, because this is a big problem, because there's two taboo words for women, money and power. So am I on the right show? Because here I am, the chicken. Why don't we see women on the dollar bill? On the 1, the 10, the 20, let's go to 100. I mean, what is wrong with this picture? So Hope, thanks for setting the context.
Actually, real quick, just to like completely take that with this show, because I'm really excited about this. And everybody, I'm Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm unbelievably humbled to be with these two incredible women talking about something I think needs a lot more attention. Actually, for pure fun, because I think what is great about this show is we are gonna go deep, and for everybody who's listening, like this is really going to get into value land, and I'm excited about this being more steak than sizzle. But real quick, just for super fun, Shelley, I'll start with you and Hope, I'll give you the extra few seconds to think. Who would you put on which dollar? Like if we were like fully in charge, we got a weird email, you three are in charge of putting the first woman on American currency. Shelley, who would you put on and on which bill?
Okay, well, so thank you for asking that question, because we actually worked with the Secretary of Treasury, on putting a woman on the bill in the Obama administration, and it was going to be Harriet Tubman on the front of the 10. And why the 10? The 10, because the 10 will be recreated for the 100-year anniversary of women's right to vote. So it was a monumental moment for women to put her on the front of the 10. The problem was Hamilton is on the front of the 10. So we were going to be relegated to the back of the bill. And so I don't believe we belong in little JPEGs on the back. We belong on the front. And a guy can move over for a little while for us to take the front. We were going to be pushed to the 20. The 20 is the bill that is in ATM machines. So it's the most popular bill. But I think now that has been delayed once again with this administration. So Harriet Tubman.
On the 10.
On the 10.
Hope. I love that. Okay, so I'm gonna start from a totally different angle. I wrote my college essay about Queen Elizabeth I as this absolute, you know, woman leader. We don't have that. We haven't had that. And let's just hope we do soon. And so I would have actually always gone for the woman queen. We don't have that, but I'm also on the other side of my life is fighting for the unsungs, all the women you don't know. I joke and I say about the women of Hidden Figures. They did the work before the movie came out. Okay. Those are people that I also want on every bill. And we've got to get women into the role of power, into the monetary role of power and recognition. But so I would start them. I start them on the one, because that's the bill that's used the most. I think it's going out of style. I think currency, by the way, is going out of style. We can have another conversation about
that. We have a lot of episodes to get into that.
Exactly. Yeah. But
Gary, who would you put?
I was thinking about it as you were talking. I was like, are we going to move to the next thing, or one of two of you going to ask? You know, I think in a lot of different terms. Like Rosa Parks was a name I was thinking a lot about, because it kind of mixes the two answers you guys gave. And that's where I think I play a little bit, meaning I like where you went, Hope, because I think in general, I'm very similar. Like, I think a lot about my life and like, why do I do operations? I have all this leverage. I'm in the prime of my career. And like, the silliest thing I actually do is actually run the business that I run from the standpoint of there's a lot of other people that are incredible at operations. And what I, you know, was luckily in the DNA game given, that's a harder, rarer trait. But I just enjoy the operations part. It's the unsung part of me that I've operated businesses. It's why I wanted to do this when I was talking to you two, because I think this show is going to deal with a lot of practicality. And I think practicality is very underrated. And I think what Rosa Parks did was just a very practical, real life thing. She wasn't a queen, which is amazing. And obviously that was a very progressive queen. She was just a normal human being living her life. And was just at a place where like, hey, I don't think this makes sense, which very speaks to my heart, because basically I just navigate life trying to figure out what does and doesn't make sense to me. And it's bodes well. So I think, you know, the $5 bill, five is my favorite number. That's why I always put up the photo with my hand like this since I take so many selfies. Five is the number on the Jets jersey that my mom sewed to me. So I would put on the $5 bill and I would go with Rosa Parks, because I think a very simple act that I'm sure was done many, many other times by people that were suppressed during that time, that was the right moment that caught the consciousness. And here we are. Just think about the nature of it. A regular human being did something, again, that I think happened many other, I don't think she was the first black woman or black male that said, I'm not moving. It's just the one. It's the one that's sat. And I like that. It speaks to my underdog nature. It definitely speaks to what I think Hope is very right on, which is there's an ungodly amount of people doing it today. And so that's where I would go with Rosa Parks on the five.
But you know, it's interesting when you talk about how much you love the operational side, because you're not someone that sits still for very long and you are very non-operational. You're always creating your own rules, which is why I think you also love Rosa Parks, because she was a non-conformist.
Yeah, and I'm practical after you break the system. And I think that's a really nice segue to what I think we're doing here, and I'll let Hope continue to take the lead. You know, I'm the guy host on here, but like for me, what is so powerful is practicality is underrated. And I think on this subject matter, this is what has always attracted me to Hope's message around this through the last decade, is the practicality of the relationship of money and women is fascinating to me and sits in that place of like what's happening in the subconscious. This is why I love branding, right? We talk about subconscious bias and the political things, but I think about subconscious decision-making. It's what I do well in marketing. And I think like what I hope this is a seed. My great dream of this is that there's somebody that's listening to this, maybe the third episode, you know, and she or he for that matter is just driving along or running on a treadmill. And this series becomes the seed to that person's life work, and that person becomes the person that operationalizes a massive change. And by the way, my hope is that that's 13 people, not just one. So, you know, for me, you're right. I only look to break systems, but what makes me not a pontificator or somebody that just lives on LinkedIn cursing, or even more noble versions of it, a politician or a teacher or an author, what makes me none of those things is my deep obsession with then operating my hyperbole and thesis, like making it real life, not just something I yell about over a bourbon. So that's kind of like, I'm very excited about this endeavor. I'm so honored to be on this with you two.
Well, Gary, the whole thing is you walk the walk. You always have. You actually will go after me hard. I'll go after you hard. I like to say about my personal career, I never thought of myself as a girl, okay? I thought of myself as just one of the guys.
A human.
And as a human, exactly. And I think that's the key and that's the grid. And all this conversation about money and success, everybody thinks that it has to be so formulaic and learned here in this calculus class. It's not, right? Gary and Shelley, like your pathway to your financial success, Gary, I know you personally joke about how well you did academically.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it wasn't your math grades, right?
Listen, I got a D in statistics and I went on to build the largest, fastest growing research company in the world. So it ain't in a textbook. That's all I want to say. And that's where mano a mano, I mean, we completely go together. I think it's about experiences that trigger, you know, the success. I hire for passion, train for skill. So I've always followed my passion and the money has followed versus going after this job because I'm supposed to. That just never felt right to me.
I think one quick thing to set up the show from day one, this series, you know, what I'm very aware of is that an outrageous amount of men are going to listen to this. I think we are going to come through the filter and the perspective and the angle of women's relationship with money, because I think it's a very, very, very big gap. But I'll be very frank, because I like to be. I was actually thinking
really?
Talking about I'm like excited to listen to Hope and some of the guests too, because like I'm an incredible earner when it comes to business. Like I know how to make dollars, but making your money work for you is an absolute skill set. And I think that we'll be touching on some of that. So some of the people that are listening, especially, I'm just gonna make some assumptions from my audience land. I think this is going to bring some really financial education that I would argue anybody can make. And really the theme for me in life, let alone this show, is what Hope said earlier, which is, I don't think of myself as a guy either. I think of myself as a human, which is what deploys so much of my empathy. I'm struggling to see my difference between me and everybody else. I still think I'm 18 when I talk to 18-year-olds, and I think I'm 81 when I talk to 81-year-olds, boy, girl, black, brown, or indifferent, or white. So I'm excited about this show. Keep setting up the context, Hope, because we have an incredible guest, and the three of us can blab into like left field for the rest of the show and kind of not nail what we want to do here.
So Gary, it's about how to make money, how to capitalize in your career and multiply that money, how to build your equity. And I really want to say there are the water cooler moments on advice, on investments. And during COVID, you've done a great job in marketing for the now. And Shelly, you've done all these great programs, but we've got to build these water cooler moments and help you get that advice. And that's one of the reasons I think doing this now is so fundamentally important, because it is. None of us in this screen look at each other as anything else but people who want to move the needle forward for all and in a productive, lifelong learning way.
Shelly, what's your 2 cents on what made you sign up for this, or what you're excited about this, or how you see this playing out?
Well, I think a lot of it is, you know, for me in business, I never really was given my value or told, you know, you are going to be a rock star and very successful. I had to make my bed. I had to find my way, create my path, learn how to negotiate for myself, believe in me because no one else did. So I think, you know, it's lessons. I think the best advice comes from people who have been there, done that, and don't have the perfect textbook example of what making money, growing money, and gaining power and what kind of responsibility you have with that power to help the others, you know, rise the rank. So for me as a woman in business, it is very important for women to understand that it's not just about money and power as we talked about, but the capitalize on you. How do you capitalize on yourself to continue to grow and also love what you do? Because I think that that is part of success and money.
Great.
Yeah, I think it's bringing it all together. I think it's bringing it all together so that we can make a difference, that we can lift everybody up. We talk about that. We all three of us talk about that. And now is the time, and hopefully the world will be a better place if we can accomplish it.
One quick thing for everybody listening post this recording, we do have a live audience watching on Facebook. I'm basically incapable of not reading the comments while I'm doing a show. So I just want to do a fair warning that I'll probably be doing some interrupting and random comments for people that won't have any sense of it. For example, I'm demanding that my team here bans Clasher. in the comments who continues to put go Bills. I am very salty of the day of this recording, the Monday after the Jets opening game. So I'm kidding. Do not ban Clasher. But we will. What I will try to do, since I have a little practice in this, we have incredible guests. I think we're aiming for two. We want to do the first episode with only one just because we wanted to set the tone. But the series will have two guests per episode is kind of our ambition. I'm correct in that, right, Shelley?
Correct.
Yep. Yep. And I will also try to play the role of interjecting with the people from Facebook who are trying to lives, which is where this is being aired, who are maybe adding 2 cents, and maybe I'll incorporate into some of my questions and or for Hope or Shelley. So I will establish that. I'm really excited about this. What did we say? We're doing this like everything I do. I can't speak for the other two ladies, where we're doing a certain amount and then we'll take it to where the wind does. But how many are we locked in for? 4, 6? What did we end up doing?
I think we're saying 6, but I mean, I think what's your point, Gary, as well. We came up with a name by polling everybody. We actually want other people. What do you want as advice as well? We have the shows lined up. We believe in being flexible and answering some of the needs that are out there. Because no road is perfect.
Well, I think that the reason the three of us came together is anything goes. I think we've created our success in very different ways, very nonlinear paths. Hope's was a little more linear, but very nonlinear. And I think that is the best advice. So we also want people to be sending in questions. Ask us anything and we will give you, to the best of our ability, real life stories and real life examples, including the guests that we're bringing in to share them. So I think that's what's so important about this. Ask us anything and anything goes.
No holds barred. And anybody who knows any one of the three of us knows that we will ask each other tough questions and we will answer them authentically, because that's what matters. That's what helps the discussion. And again, going back to my view on women and girls and money, they didn't ask the question, and because they're afraid. And we got to stop that. There's no such thing as a bad question.
Well, I think
we got to stop that fear.
You gave great advice when I said, there is a whole concept of best advice for how to invest your money pre-COVID days. And then you said, and what people aren't thinking about is the different strategies during COVID. And so I would love to hear from you. We're just waiting for Mindy to join. While we're waiting, give us some great financial advice for how to invest differently during this COVID moment.
I mean, listen, the first thing I put up a couple of pieces on LinkedIn, I think it's really important, is you got to first count your bananas. And I mean that, and Gary and I talked about that, because it actually came from Gary. Gary knew what every cost in his office was. Every single company I've ever invested in, that's what we did first. What do you have? Because before you can talk about investing, Shelley, what do you have? What are your upcoming expenses? And this is not calculus, right? This is A plus B, right? What do you minus C? What do you have? And then you can decide how to invest. Because then what do you need? When do you need that money, right? Might you need that money? Because if you need that money, tying it up in a longer term strategy is not a good idea. So it's about your liquidity. And it's about your tolerance for risk. So I think the answer is there isn't one answer, Shelley. It actually is individual, but first assess what you have, assess what you need, and assess whether you're not gonna need to access that money anytime in the near future, right? Private investments that can yield you a lot of money are highly risky sometimes.
Let's talk about that for a hundredth of a second. Like highly risky, like everyone, what happens? We have these moments in time when people become fascinated about things and startup investing. Everybody, like the older set, couldn't wait to find their son or daughter's best friend that was gonna be the next Mark Zuckerberg. Like we are a Hollywood storytelling infatuated society. the Social Network movie comes out, and literally, I mean, like, I took thousands of these meetings over the course of a decade. Regular businessmen and women reached out to me because I'd come from a regular business before I got into the Silicon Valley stuff. And like the smartest, most conservative guys and gals I knew from the liquor business, mainly guys, would say things like, hey, I want to put 100K into a startup. Do you know any Mark Zuckerberg like that? I'm like, do you understand the math around Facebook? Like 98% likelihood, 99% likelihood that you're about to put 100, especially at that time. Like, I would argue that post this pandemic, if things get tighter, like I haven't, and hope you know this, I haven't really invested in startups the last 3 or 4 years. And oh, by the way, the ones I have, I've done extremely well because it's back to what I did the first time with Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter for me were, I believe in Ev Williams, I believe in Mark Zuckerberg, I believe in David Karp, I believe in the traction they already have, tens of millions of users. Not, oh, this person went to a good college, seems smart, and I subjectively like this idea, with no context do they have the stomach to be an entrepreneur. And that's what I went back to. Like, I just had a very large exit with Liquid IV, Unilever just bought. Like, I didn't even want to invest in Brandon's company. It was just so obvious to me that this kid was going to win, right? It's what happened with me with Micmac. I keep doubling down on Rachel Tipograph. Sometimes I just can't help it because it's so obvious to me about the human. But yeah, I mean, for everybody who's watching right now, investing, I just think that this is what I want to get into, because I know what Hope and Shelly bring to the table, and I think what I'm gonna be watching and doing more listening than normal is like, when can I inject, like now? Like right now, the point is this. No, it is not highly risky. It is almost guaranteed that you will lose money if you invest in a startup.
Correct.
But that is a big deal, because I think most people think it's like a 50-50 crapshoot. Like, no. And you have to put 25 or 50 or 100K in to even get in. So it's like, it's not like buying 10 shares of Apple. You know, or like buying, like what I'm hot on now, a baseball card that might go down or might go up. You're locked in for 20 to 50K, and you're locked in kind of forever. Like, it's not liquid.
You can't sell it. You can't go to the open market and go sell it. You go buy those 10 shares of Apple, and you can sell it if you need the money. You go invest in a startup, you can't. You have to assume it's gonna fail. And that's a really, really—
On the record, every dollar I've ever put into a startup, I have 100% written off in my head. I don't need it to pay my bills or to feed my family. It is gone, period.
So venture investing has to go in your highest risk category, okay? And only when you can absolutely afford to lose every ounce of that. Yes. And that's really important. And Gary, there's one other thing you're not saying about what you do about venture investing. When you invest in a company, you also give yourself to that company. And by that, you're helping them get to success faster. You're accelerating the growth.
And I had to learn, Hope, that I wasn't, to your point, and that's why I did well early on, because I was. But then as I got stretched thin, I realized, ugh, and my financial situation changed. You know, because I started over at 34 and didn't have a lot of money, like every dollar was like petrified. And even though I wrote it off, I really wanted it to win. Whereas now I realized, ugh, you know, in this kind of like muckery place 4 years ago, which is why I changed my behavior. I'm like, ooh, I'm writing like 100K, which means a lot to me. I came from nothing, but it's not enough to make me go do something. They're not reaching out to me. I'm not running their company. And to your point, my impact on it was far less than the early stuff and far less than the last 3 or 4 that I got involved with, you know, for say Micmac, I went on the board. You know, like, and it's close to VaynerMedia, so I can send Rachel clients, and she's like me, so I can tutor and mentor. That's such a great point. I have some level of impact. To your point, 99% don't. You're passive, and it's not liquid, and it's 99% likely to go away.
But I think you also are talking about, it's not just your investment, you also are taking the interest. Like, when you have an interest in the company and in the people, that's when you unlock your magic. It's not just a passive investment that you watch.
But self-awareness. One of the things that I really want to talk about, and I'm going to let you two take over, is like, and of course we're talking generalizations. So like, let there be no confusion. Every human's different. But when we think about this show, especially from the female lens, you know, I think one thing I look for a lot is self-esteem and self-awareness, right? And I do think that that is something that everybody who's listening now needs to think about. To your point, Shelly, like for me, what I realize is, oh, right. When I see a scrappy kid, it's why I unfairly razz, you know, Ivy League kids. They're just as likely to win. It just, it doesn't speak to my soul the same way because it's not who I am. To your point, Shelly, it took me time to realize, ooh, this is what I'm attracted to. You know, the internet kids that I was investing in 2005 and six, they were the underdogs.
Right.
100%.
They were nerds. It wasn't cool. Nobody believed. Now it's completely in the other chasm, which is why I've lost my spirit for it. So for everybody's listening, find what your spirit is because that's going to allow you to go deeper.
100%. Listen, we have an amazing guest, Hope, that we're going to bring in right now. I would love to welcome Mindy Grossman, who is the CEO of WW.
Hi, hey, guys.
It was like the perfect clue as Gary was going on, Gary V, about the people we believe in and the people that can build a business, drive a business, not just inherit one, but create one based on passion and power and money and all of those things. There is no one better to reflect those values than you, Mindy. We are so excited to have you here.
Thank you. And Gary, I love what you just said about self-esteem and self-awareness. I always say, particularly to women, self-awareness is your greatest superpower. And it's just so important. And that belief in yourself comes from extreme awareness.
But Mindy, where did that extreme awareness for you? Was there a pivot moment? Was there one of those heartbeat moments that you had that said, you know, because you've risen the ranks, you've won every accolade of most powerful women on, you know, Fortune, Forbes, on, you know, and everything. Was there a moment in your career that you found that confidence kind of emanated from you? You said, I got this and I can do anything.
You know, I think it's been a journey. I think it's been a journey that's really built. You know, I took a risk very early in my career. You know, I was supposed to be a lawyer. I was supposed to get married. And at the last minute in my last semester of college, and I had started college at 16, I just decided to change my life. And I moved to New York at 20 in 1977, broke my engagement, decided not to go to law school, and said, I'm going to figure it out. So I always say not taking the risk would have been riskier. So it definitely gave me the confidence in a lot of what I did. But when I moved to New York, I had no finances. I didn't have, you know, parental support. You know, they didn't have the wherewithal. And so it was really about my taking care of myself. And I would say that the one thing in the first few years that I didn't do enough of was think about security. It was, you know, spend what you have. And then as I got older and I really understood the business skills, I said, I'm not applying my business skills to my personal life. And I need to be as focused, as educated and aware as I am in business, in my personal finances. And that was a big moment for me. And then when I got married, I'm married to a mathematical physicist who is a financial expert, right? But I wasn't going to abdicate my intentions, my right, and my understanding of where I wanted to go with finances. So we've been partners in this journey the whole time. And I think one of the wake-up calls for me is I had a girlfriend who very sadly, her husband all of a sudden died on the racquetball court. And she had no idea where anything was, their finances, their, what their status was. And I remember saying that should happen to no one. You know, you should be the owner of what it is your goals are and everything else. Now that doesn't mean you can't have a partner. Mm-hmm. But you need to be as educated, informed, you need to make the right decisions, whether they be about an investment or whether they be about what you want to save versus what you want to make. And Hope, I was listening to you as well earlier. Everything is individual, whether it's the level of risk or, you know, what you're comfortable with and what your joint plans are. And so throughout, you know, our relationship, even to this day, We are both very involved in whatever decisions that we're making together. And we certainly have our own individual investment decisions. And the other point you made that I thought was really smart is any startup investment I make, I assume I'm going to get nothing back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do it because I believe in the
that
people
you might
just
win.
Like Gary
that you might
and
win.
Rachel, mm-hmm. right? You believe in the person and you will lend your support. So, you know, I made the decision to start investing in some early stage women founded businesses and said, I can give them, you know, capital, but I can also give them support.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it works, great. And if not, I've done my best to help support the investment.
Mindy, real quick, you played at the highest levels of business in this world. Do you think that financial literacy, because the story you told about the racquetball gentleman, which is devastating, is such a common story for mm-hmm. the women of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, and I think there has been a turn, thank God. But as you were talking, literally I was like, how many of the guys that were the racquetball guys that died also had no like fiscal literacy? Like when you think about fiscal, like financial money literacy across the board, because you interact so heavily across the board, do you agree with my assumptions that like in general, people's relationship with money and even more so women is just stunningly low?
Absolutely. I think financial literacy should be a prerequisite as much as you need ABCs.
I agree.
Right?
So because Mindy, shouldn't it be taught? Shouldn't it be taught like home ec? You know, they used to teach
exactly.
home ec. They don't teach, they basic, and I don't like calling it financial literacy because I think that scares people, right? It's just
a scary word.
It's a scary word, right?
Can we call it, know what to do with your fucking money?
I think that's good. We should put that in high school education.
And, you know, I didn't even have the certain other classes I need to take. And, you know, for example, you know, when I really went into business and started up the ranks and really owning P&Ls, I said, I really need to be further educated. And I went to take the executive program at Harvard, right? So why are we educating ourselves about the business and we're not spending as much time educating ourselves about our financial future? And you need to do both. And I so agree, it needs to be whatever you want to call the curricula. It needs to be a prerequisite.
And that's the whole thing. So you went, you actually took the initiative to go and lifelong learner, go and understand it better, right? You took that, but we've got to help people understand that they got to do it earlier. This is not calculus, right? This is not complicated math, right? You don't have to move from a balance sheet to a cash flow.
Joke around having that class would have done more for most people than calculus.
But I also,
again, I'm married to a mathematician, so he gets a little upset when I say that.
But I also think having that class with contextual real life experiences also helps a lot. If you just read it in isolation in a book, would you really have gained the same value as having to live and breathe managing cash flow and liquidity and investment and,
yeah.
and all that?
And I do think that particularly for women, we need to educate ourselves to have the confidence to make the investment decisions. And, you know, I'm sure you've brought it up all the time. We make 90% of the purchase decisions and just a small percentage of the investment decisions. And women need to be better advocates for themselves and not abdicate their responsibility because it's so critical. You know, even if you're partnering, but let's say you're just building what you need in your career and what you want in your life, setting those goals and having those plans and understanding the risks that you're, you know, open to taking and what investment decisions at some point do you need to start thinking about, that's education.
So Mindy, I couldn't agree. And it's, you also talked about coming out and in from college, you know, I too didn't get married the first time, so to speak. I walked away, and you have to own it yourself, right? And that sends you, and Gary, you talk often about.
Can I ask, Hope, I'm sorry to interrupt you, the fact that you and Mindy have this shared experience, this, you know, I love.
Hi, by the way.
You too, Shell?
Yep.
This is just really interesting to me because I think all the good for me has been under social studies and history. Very simple question. Was that commonly happening for strong women in your generation? Like, was that like something that, you know, you and your other look at the three of you of what ended up happening. Did you see that behavior happening from, was that happening quite a bit at that time? Or did a lot of people end up going into those marriages and then get into divorces or just live those unhappy lives because they were the alpha and that was what you were supposed to do, and the supposed to you had enough juice and a lot of women made that decision because people were getting married so much younger also in that era. Just, I'm very curious from a social studies standpoint because it might even help one listener today going through.
I think for me, you know, I was adopted. And, you know, I was always told that I'd been given this gift. So I took it very seriously. So I definitely rushed to get through to prove something because I wanted to be able to then use that gift, right? So I was very serious and I thought I had to be on a certain timeline. And that's when I really had the revelation that it's not a timeline. It has to be right and you have to be passionate. You have to be purposeful, you have to be fulfilled. And that is ultimately what's going to allow you to have impact. And, you know, I finally got married, you know, nine years after that. But I think sometimes first you need the time to get that self-awareness of what you really need.
Yeah, and Mindy, I completely agree, but the difference for me, I was working in investment banking and I was working crazy hours and I was sort of told, you can't do that. And I'm like, I can't do that? Like,
meaning
no,
get
this
married?
Is-
or you
no,
can't
no, no,
do investment
yeah,
banking?
I can't live the crazy business life and be married and have kids. And I'm like, are you kidding? You mean you want me barefoot in the kitchen? And it was definitely that you've got the wrong person here. I'm going to make it for me. Okay. I'm not going to make it as Mrs. So-and-so.
Yeah, myself as well. Totally.
I was going for an MRS degree. That was for sure. I never thought that I was going to be the CEO of a company. And it was only until I found my stride of who I was as a whole person, who I was in business, and who I wanted to be as a parent, that I was able to, you know, become my best self, not fall into it. Because I don't think I ever would have ended up in the workplace if I married the person I was going to marry. I would have been the supportive person on the
arm.
And
I think, Gary, we're all three saying the same thing. It's also about self-reliance. Ultimately, we wanted to be the one dictating the pathway. We wanted to be the one owning it. You know, this whole series to me is about getting everybody else to stand up, capitalize on yourself, and have the confidence that you can do it. Let's give you the tools. Let's help you, because that's ultimately how change and equality happens.
Yeah, and it goes back to what Shelley said. It goes back to self-belief, right, and confidence. And the ability to truly believe that you're deserving and capable, right? And you have to, though, believe it first. And I think that's, we're all saying something very similar.
Well, I think confidence starts at the age of 5. And so when Gary was talking about, you know, the learning in school, you know, even at a young age, knowing your value and your worth, that boys and girls are worth the same and they bring different skills to the table, and that's very powerful back to capitalize on you. I just wanted to ask you, Mindy, you know, from compensation, when you went for the big job and had to negotiate for yourself, You know, because you can have lawyers and you can have all this, but at the end of the day, you got to believe in you and know what your value is. Where did that come from? How did you do that first negotiation that took you to a new place?
I would say that that first negotiation or the first range of negotiations were very uncomfortable. And I just kept saying to myself, it's okay to be uncomfortable, but you need to advocate for yourself. And I just remember there was one negotiation, and at the last minute, I almost acquiesced to something. And my husband looked at me and said, a man wouldn't do that. And it was like somebody slapped me in the face. And it's because I wanted it, right? And I sat back and I said, you know, every once in a while, you need the people that can tell you the truth. And you have to know your worth. Right? It's not just because you want something. What truly is your worth? And you need to advocate for your worth. So, you know, I've always done a lot of homework. And yes, I've had lawyers. And yes, I've had advisors. But I've done the homework on what I think I'm worth and what I think I can contribute to the business. And if someone doesn't believe in that, then maybe I don't belong there.
Yeah, and honestly, for everybody who's listening, because, you know, for example, my dad always makes fun of me because I prefer to negotiate in a manner that leaves a little bit more on the other side of the table than for myself. It is my state. It is what I'm most comfortable with. And I've never associated that. I associate a lot of my things through the years as I grew up because my mom is my hero with my feminine side or my soft skills or even things that are not women versus men, like empathy and sympathy. We've categorized those things, but I've always understood, but I never thought about my negotiation style as that. But I hear so much more about know your worth in, you know, in the female conversation sector that I spend time in. But I think everybody probably understands this, but I think it's important. It's like creative. You know, we've talked about this, Mindy and Shelley, in other business contexts, like creative. It's subjective. One of my favorite female juggernauts, Gail Tifford, who you work with, Mindy, like even when she was at Unilever. And by the way, we said WW for like a lot of people that don't know, that is like the rebrand of Weight Watchers, just to give context for everybody listening. So, you know, and when you go through rebrand, I always like to do that just so everybody knows what's going on. You know, knowing your worth is actually subjective. You know, and could be
financial. Well, it depends.
You just took the words out of my mouth. It comes in two forms. Go ahead.
You have to look at the business.
Correct.
You have to look at where the business is, what you think you can contribute to the business, and what do you think that impact is going to be. And anyone who's looked at I've been running public companies, so everything is public. I build whatever that compensation is, betting on the impact I can make on the company. And if I can make the impact, I will compensated commensurately. And I've in particular always chosen growth and transformation. So it's a different kind of growth.
100%. Having empathy and understanding to the audience, 99.9% of the people here are definitely not going to run a public company. And then 95% of the people here are going to work in private environments where they're not going to have very clean data around the comps. But for example, if you're a minority or a woman, or if you're a man, white man, everybody asking and putting pressure on HR or the owner or whatever around comps. You know, I come from family business land. The last two coaching ups I've done have been for two people trying to negotiate with a father and one with a father, one with a mother owner, where the kids are getting paid $400,000 to be losers in the building. Mm-hmm. And they're driving the business at 120 and they're trying to figure out what to do. That takes negotiating with Sasha Vaynerchuk in that scenario, very different than negotiating with the HR company at WW or Vayner, very different than if you're joining Shelly's female private, like there's so many variables. I think where I'm trying to go is don't beat yourself up if you've signed on a deal and you're like, you know, knowing if you got your worth can be very daunting, I've noticed from my perspective. But to your point, Mindy, conceding for something you do not want to concede for, You have to understand, saying no for yourself in that negotiation makes no sense. At least put it on the table. Let them say no a third time.
I could not agree. And the other thing is, and I absolutely hear what you're saying. And again, I think you do different things at different points in your career. And if you have made the decision, right, and you've left whatever it is, because you can't quantify, when you start and you are having an impact and you have quantitative measures of your success on the business, don't be afraid to advocate for yourself and at some point go back and have another conversation.
But you also,
and Mindy, can I?
Oh, sorry, Hope. You said something very important, which was the quantifiable piece, and that you also bet on the upside on yourself. So you exactly. did your compensation negotiation with equity and with cash, but where you put the big win was in what you were going to deliver because you believe in you and you can quantify that performance, success. Yes.
And Mindy and Shelley, that's exactly what I was going to add. At some point, there's a transition from dollar salary comp to equity and betting on yourself for the future. And you have to have the confidence because that's where you build up really long-term capital, mm-hmm. especially if you help build the business and you have the belief in yourself, your team, and everybody around that. Make that bet. Everybody can't at every point of their lifestyle, but we're going to have conversations on this show about when you switch and when you step on the gas with equity compensation versus cash.
Yeah, and it really depends on where you are in your financial status, what risk you want to take. You know, if you don't have a home yet, you want to build investment for that, you're going to make different decisions on where that balance is going to be. So it's not a one size fits all. Everybody's really individual.
Can I open up the forum for a second? I want all three of you to speak to this. Cynthia says, this is not speaking to the women who has no time to waste, no money to waste, and needs exact step-by-steps. So for 5 to 10 minutes ranting here, all three of you, please chime in. You know, what do we say to Cynthia who leaves that comment right now on Facebook Live of like, what is kind of some step-by-step 101s for someone who's concerned about time, concerned about having just a tiny bit of money working for her? Thoughts on some scenarios you've seen and maybe some practical tips of starting points?
I'm going to start by Cynthia. I wrote a piece on the return on time. I said I got taught on the return on investment from a very young age because I've been in finance my whole life, but nobody talks to women about the return on time. And I think it's really, really important. You don't have a lot of time and COVID's probably made it worse.
Hope, back to time, since they're probably not going to go to your LinkedIn, though I recommend everyone should because Hope's on fire, and read it. Just some quick, rapid, like, are we talking about stuff that I get passionate about, which is like audit your 7 p.m. to 12. If you're not happy or you're concerned or you're anxious, but you're also watching entire seasons of content on Netflix, that's a debatable time because I talk to people in really shitty situations about time because I have a lot of friends in shitty situations and I have a large social footprint and I'll go there for 25 minutes with one person because then I want the rep and I want to bring value. Even the ones that are in the most, I don't have time, when you really go there, I understand you have 3 kids, 1 job, single parent, you really go there, you get into this incredible debate of one's need for a little bit of escapism on a Tuesday night when they're fried and they're the opportunity to do something with that hour and a half at night that may get you out of the hamster wheel. How do you think about that, Hope, from your perspective?
Well, so it goes back to Mindy went and took this Harvard class, right? Now, not everybody's going to take that Harvard class. There is plenty of material online to get a little bit of financial education. And one of the things that I am desperately hoping that this is going to do as we roll out these guests is give you in short snippets really good advice on how to learn about investing, risk, HR asking for more. And so the little things you can do every day, even if you take 15 minutes, Gary, you actually joke with me about exercise about this, right? You know, you got to get your head in the game and, you know, give 15 minutes to exercise. How do we take 15 minutes a day to learn?
I don't have time is the great excuse of people that don't want to do. It is also the sheer reality to a very small percent of people that have had incredible adversity in their lives. They're both can be true, but I speak a lot of times to the 94% because the 6% need a totally different piece of content. Let there be no confusion. I don't have time is one of the easiest things to audit when somebody's completely full of shit. What they're saying oftentimes is, I'm not motivated to do something I don't enjoy. Mm. This goes back to self-awareness. All of us really got hot on that. Because,
but you also have to think of this as another form of self-care.
Absolutely.
Where financial security is self-care. So I think assessing and having a deep knowledge of where you are at the moment, and then setting a goal that's definable and, when I say realistic, you know, I find that what too many people do is they go to set a goal and it's like,
right,
something.
I'm going to be Beyonce and create a $1 billion makeup
so
brand.
I think goal steps along the way. So you at least feel that you've accomplished something when you hit that first. And it doesn't have to be big. Maybe it's just a change in behavior. Maybe it's just a shift in focus. You know, it could be any of those things, but I am an obsessive list maker. I always have been, whether it's, you know, what do I want in my next, you know, career move? You know, what do I want in my life? And I find it very, very helpful because I have something I can really refer to when I can be distracted. It keeps one focused on what really the priorities are. And you need to take, that's where you need to take the time. And that's what I mean by the form of self-care.
And I think time is money and you need to prioritize and you need to focus because you can't do it all every day, all the time. You have one life with five dimensions. You have your career, you have your family, you have your community, you have your friends, and the fifth is yourself. And you can't forget about that bucket. And, you know, I have a no regret policy. I always look forward and I never want to look back and say shoulda, woulda, coulda. But I think forward and act in the moment. Every day is a new day with choices. Time is choice. How do you want to spend your time and be thoughtful? And you can't do all five dimensions all the time. It's based on your life stages and where you are. So pick and choose where your priorities are, where your focus are, and then allocate your time accordingly. So you never use excuses that you don't have time. We all have time, you got to make it.
Where you layer self-awareness, because Mindy's point is so important. It's such a please, everybody, listen. When you make a goal that is what you wish you were, versus what you are in deep shit. Mm-hmm. I always push people, like I went through this with my sister, who's the best, Liz Novello, big shout out. Finally, as happy as I've ever seen her, why? Through a lot of conversations with her older brother who loves this shit and she has full access to me, she had to go through a process of, she loves teaching, but she did it because it was the safest. She is so happy to and loves her kids and is the best mother, but she's not going to be the mother that we had who wanted more than breathing to stay home and see every second. She's too alpha. She had to go back to being 16 and selling baby clothes in a baby outlet store to remind herself that she loves selling like her older brother. And now that she does real estate and she does it in balance with being a mother, she's shining. But she had to figure out, and she was driven by money. Let there be no, like, let this be on the record. My sister and dad are far more, and my grandmother, that's the lineage of the DNA of that family. They are much more driven by money. And what I tried to explain to her is like, look, my passion led to something that did money, but I could have very easily, if the DNA was different, if my passion was art, I might have done something that did not make me as much money because that because I'm in it for the game. You, my sister, you are in it for the money. Take a step back, be self-aware. And real estate is a game that can, this is back to the question of like, what's the step-by-step? Step one, what's the most likely fucking thing you can do that will give you money? You the human. Are you a worker bee? Are you an admin for a A-list superstar? Are you good at buying stuff at garage sales and thrift stores and flipping it? Should you start a honey company? Like you, what are you best at to make money? That's starting point one, because you're not saving and investing becomes completely irrelevant if you don't make enough to sustain a roof over your head and eat and have something left over. And oh, by the way, roof over your head and eat doesn't mean BMW and Prada bags and all the fucking bullshit all of you are wasting money on, which leaves you with no money because you're using those things as oftentimes band-aids for insecurity because you want to look successful instead of being successful.
Well, I think part of it is about the list.
Mindy, your lists, when you said you're a list taker, I always say don't do a to-do list, but have a to-be list of really, you know, what matters to you most. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, actually, the other thing is have a not-to-do list. So I think the prioritization, what I call ultimate discretion, is really important, especially in the beginning. What is truly a need? And then when you want an indulgence, have it be purposeful, right? And, you know, I've gone through those processes, and, you know, I think that over the course of time, compared to, you know, when I was my very younger self, Gary, when I just wanted, you know, stuff, I was working, I was making money. I'm completely opposite now, where I'm very purposeful about those things that are going to be important in my life. And, you know, and that's what, when I talk to younger women or younger people, I said, the earlier you can start doing that, the more fulfilled you will actually be, because the things you choose to do are going to be that much more meaningful to you.
Well, it's the WWE, eat healthy and purposely save the last 3 points for something yummy. Hope we got a wrap.
Exactly.
You want to wrap?
So, you know, listen, first of all, this has been great. And I believe, Mindy, I couldn't agree more about purpose. Gary and I met on a nonprofit board. It's all, you know, it's not about buying for yourself. It's about being a giver. So I think that's an unbelievable way to close. And I also think it's about systems. It's about reaching out to other people. Today's world of social media, we're all on it. We're all available. Reach out. If you need help, reach out, ask for a specific thing, find your sponsors. This is the beginning of a conversation that is so unbelievably important to me. I think to all of us here, it's about capitalizing on you and all the toolkits we can give you for success. You know, I like to say, you know, what's the lesson to your younger self? And so, Mindy, let's leave with what's the lesson to your younger self, and Gary and Shelley for the audience.
Yeah, I would say be the master of yourself. And it's kind of what is going to be important to you, but determine that early and be very strategic, thoughtful, and purposeful about what you decide to do. But it's also about belief that comes from education and knowledge and knowing when is the right time to take a risk.
Michelle?
I'd say capitalize on you. I mean, I think that it's be yourself, because everyone else is taken. Oscar Wilde says it best. Gary V.
I'm going to go a little bit narrow here. I think that I grew up in a very immigrant household where I'm going to talk to a different group of people here where saving money was everything. Like there just was nothing else. And I've watched my dad navigate that life. And, you know, I had a lot of those tendencies too. I think, you know, money in the bank doesn't give the interest rates that they used to, and money in general. Like, so for a small group, because I've spent a lot of my energy here with the people that don't have it, but like having $13,000, you know, $28,000, and say, like, if I'm talking to my younger self, I did a really good job because I saved, and then I deployed very high risk because I thought I had a lot of earning in front of me, and I invested in Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, and that changed the course of my life. That was much better. And then, by the way, my famous passing on Uber twice happened because I overextended myself a little bit on an apartment in New York City, and I valued having some cash a little too much and passed on something that was very intuitive to me, which would have, that was a $500 million mistake. Like there's no other way to say it. Real life math, back to the data. And so like thinking about my younger self, my advice, it's, you know, maybe have your cash savings be even smaller than you think you needed, and being thoughtful about where you invested those dollars. So I think a little more offense, because the romance for me off of that first generation immigration, and I think a lot of people can think of their grandparents the way I'm talking, because those were the people that first overvalued. I think there is some offense DNA for younger me who had a lot of, there's a lot of people right now who do have the ability and believe in themselves to earn for a long time. And if that's the case, you should be thoughtful about how you invest and have a mix of smart investing and probably some high risk, because cash in bank surely gets really less sexy for somebody that was like me, and I overvalued it a lot of parts of my career. So that's the specific narrow one to me.
Cash under the mattress doesn't go very far either.
Yeah, now that also still means like I will go to the grave with a certain number, that's my personal number of like true like Armageddon, and like take the cash and run. So I still have that.
But the bottom line is we all need to learn. We all need to figure out what works for us, what kind of financial situation, how hungry are we? Everybody's different. I want to get the tools out there so that we all can be successful, so that we can build money. And for those that don't have the time, help them find the resources to get out of the hole, to pay down debt, etc. Talk to you about debt, talk to you about interest rates. We're going to do that all on these coming shows. But the bottom line is we truly believe that building and capitalizing on you can make a huge difference in the future. And that's why we're all here. Mindy, thank you. It was absolutely great.
No, I think what to my partners, Gary and Shelley. So important. And it's going to be such a valuable asset to so many. And more now than ever.
Thank you. And you were our first guest. You just opened up the door for so many more. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for making a difference.
Bye, everyone. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Mindy. Great job, everyone.
Mindy.
All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is Always Delivering by Gordon Crooked X. Very helpful tactical details and insightful guests, always providing tremendous value. Thanks, Gary V. Appreciate you much. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.